As an early career academic, the past academic year has brought to my attention the importance of the lecturer or tutor appreciating the prior knowledge of the learner and the educational background that learners have when they commence university. Experience in further education can be influenced by a number of factors, such as socio-economic environment, institution attended, relationship they have with their teachers and peers, support from family, as well as their own self-confidence. When learners enter higher education, they have typically not had the opportunities to appreciate the concept of independent study, or develop the skills to successfully become independent learners. This can be especially so of learners from lower socio-economic groups. Depending on the region the learner is resident in the United Kingdom, then they may be classified as widening participation students. This classification has been identified through the Index of Multiple Deprivation, which gathers information related to 7 domain indicators, including education skills and training, barriers to housing and services, the living environment, and crime. To allow all learners the opportunity to access higher education, universities have been increasing student intake in such groups since the 1960s. But are academics aware of the proportion of learners identified in their classes as widening participation? And are they aware of the potential effect that this categorisation could have on the student's ability to succeed as an independent learner in higher education? This research focuses on one group of 38 Level 4 students required to undertake a distance learning module on the BSc Forensic Investigation Award at Staffordshire University. This research attempts to determine whether learners' success was potentially affected by their background and prior academic achievements. Figure 1 illustrates that data from student submission forms and Level 4 module assessments were manually collected from Thesis, the university database, and subsequently analysed using Microsoft Excel. Information was gathered for each student studying the Level 4 module, which was entitled Techniques for Scientific Investigation. This included data relating to the post-16 subjects studied, academic grades awarded for these subjects, and the type of post-16 qualification each student achieved. This data was then compared to the marks awarded to the students for this module, as well as the status as whether the individual was from a widening participation background. The limitation with gathering data in this manner is that student records can be quite difficult to extract and interpret when not all prior academic information is available, or when students have undertaken foreign qualifications. Although most student records were complete, the analysis is only based upon the information attained through initial UCAS applications and during the clearing process. Also, the classification of widening participation by the university, using the Index of Multiple Deprivation, does not necessarily reflect the true socio-economic background of the individual. However, it does only influence the typical area that they reside in on application to the university. This therefore needs to be considered when interpreting the results from this research. In order to facilitate independent study, I supplied students with audio content to support the weekly PowerPoint-based presentations, as well as weekly online quizzes to apply and test their understanding of the theory. Every few weeks, face-to-face tutorials were provided, together with bi-weekly laboratory practicals to further apply analytical theory to real-life problems. The module assessment comprised of a written coursework assignment based on a practical laboratory, and 4 short class tests separated evenly over the semester. 17 of the 38 students in the 2011-2012 cohort for this module were classed as wider participation students. Figure 2 highlights that nearly half of the cohort of students failed the module, and figure 3 further illustrates that none of the widening participation students achieved higher than 59%, i.e. a lower second class award for this module. Figure 4 and 5 suggest that the reason for this is likely to be because these students appear to have less likely to have studied chemistry related subjects at post-16 level, as well as the fact they are typically studied via less traditional academic qualifications, such as BTEC and access courses, as opposed to the more traditional A-level routes. The content of this module was predominantly of a chemistry nature, and as module leader I was not aware of the limited chemistry background the students on this module had, although I was aware that the students were not required to have studied science at post-16 level. Upon reflection of the results and information gathered about the typical learner on this module, prior learning experiences and underpinning knowledge were crucial to facilitate learner success at university through a distance learning approach. If I had been provided with this information prior to the module commencing, the style and content of the delivery of the tutorials would have been altered to more fully support the development of understanding, knowledge and application of scientific theory covered during the module. At level 4, in my experience, learners appear not to have developed sufficient tools to successfully undertake independent learning. Even mature students, who may be more motivated to study independently than traditional undergraduate students, may have been out of education for a number of years and therefore also appeared to struggle with the module content and learning method at this stage of their award. From discussion with the students, it also appeared that their confidence in science and chemistry in particular was very low. Therefore, further tutorials, face-to-face delivery and a prior semester 1 module containing analytical chemistry content may support their academic learning and would have been potentially beneficial to enhance the success of the learners undertaking this semester 2 module. The module that was initially designed to be taken before the Techniques of Scientific Investigation module was entitled Science for Justice. However, this was an optional module and the majority of students opted not to study this module at semester 1 in level 4. In light of these results and the introduction of the 30 credit modules at the university this year, myself and colleagues in the Forensic and Crime Science department decided to combine the semester 2 module with the Science for Justice semester 1 module and make the year-long module core for all students on the BSc Forensic Investigation Award. This would serve to introduce the scientific aspects in the first semester, to attempt to build learner self-confidence in chemistry-related theory, and further support the application of knowledge in tutorials and practical sessions. We also propose to change the delivery method for the semester 2 content from predominantly distance learning to face-to-face taught lecture workshops. The class tests and online quizzes would remain as a teaching method, but both would be formative assessments through the semester using peer and self-assessment to support revision and preparation for a summative end-of-module exam. The element of written coursework would remain to provide opportunity to undertake independent study and apply the scientific techniques to quantitatively solve problems in forensic science. In order to assess the success of the proposed initiative to develop alternative pathways to support learning of widening participation students, we will compare module results for Semester 2 of the 2012-2013 module cohort with the results from the 2011-2012 Techniques for Scientific Investigation module and consider any further changes that may be suitable to further support learning at level 4, as well as using further feedback from students during this academic year.